Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the Gemara at the upper part of Daf Lamed Beis, we notice the third line from the top at the end of the line, V'cheres Hadriani. This item was mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis as one of the items that are forbidden Bahano, that are Osir Bahano, meaning it would be Osir to derive any benefit from it. The Gemara asks, My Hadriani, what is this? What is this Cheres Hadriani? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Cheres Shel Hadrianus Kesar. It's a piece of earthenware that was used by the military forces of Hadrian the Caesar, the emperor. Ki Oso Ravdimi Omar. Ravdimi will, when he came forth, he explained how this comes to be, how it's made, what happens. In a nutshell, we'll describe this Cheres Hadriani as a wine tea bag. This was a case where they immersed some very absorbent clay, or they filled up very absorbent clay jugs with wine. The highly absorbent clay jugs would absorb the wine, and the wine, we'll see very shortly, was a very, very powerful, very concentrated type of wine. And they then smashed the jugs into fragments, and the soldiers would pack these fragments into their backpacks as they went out to battle. And when they wanted to have a tasty drink, they would immerse this saturated earthenware, saturated with the wine, in some water, and lo and behold, it would produce a cup of wine. And the clay bag, or tea bag, if you will, could be reused several times because the initial wine that was absorbed was very concentrated. It afforded this reusable aspect. So the Gemara now, courtesy of Rav Dimi, explains, Karka Besula Hoysa, there was virgin soil, Shelo Ovda Odo Me'olam, was never tilled. As a result of that, it was chock full of nutrients and would produce a very strong wine or a grape that was capable of producing very high quality, intense, strong wine. Ovdo vinoto, it would be cultivated and planted. Veromi le lachamro begulfi chivri. It was cultivated, grapes grew, and wine was produced from those grapes, and then veromi le lachamro, they would then place the wine, begulfi chivri. Gufi are earthenware clay jugs. Chivri, it's a type of, it's a color, it's a reference to white clay. And they were new white clay jugs. Umaitzi luhula chamrayu. Maitzi, they would absorb chamrayu, the wine that was in them. Umitzbaru luhu, then they would break the jugs after they completed their absorbing. Bechaspi, they broke them into fragments. These are shards. Chaspi are shards. Vidoru Bahadayu, and then they would carry it with them. Each one would carry their shards with them. Vecholhecho demotu, and wherever they arrived or encamped, Toru Lahu, they would soak them in water. Vishosu, and then drink the beverage. Omri Vishu ben Levi, Verishon Shalonu Kishlishi Shalohen. That would mean our highest quality wine, our number one quality wine, was like their third, which would mean that after as we said, the wine tea bag was immersed the third time, so that third immersion would produce a wine that was equal in quality to Rabbi Shimon Levi says, our best quality wine. Ibaya laho. Now the Gemara asks a question concerning these shards absorbed with this we'll call it this Goyisha wine. This is a Gentile wine. After all, we're talking about Roman troops that produced this. So the Gemara asks, Mahu lismoich bohen kare hamita? Can I use it to serve as a kare hamita? Literally is the legs of a bed. But we'll say, can I use it to support a bed? In other words, I'm interested in the shard that has the wine absorbed in it, but I'm not interested in it for its wine value. I'm interested in it because it's a solid substance. The shard itself is a solid substance. It could be used for something else other than wine. This is described by the Gemara as with the following term: roitze b'kiyumo ayadei davar acher, shari oy osur. Is it shari? Is it allowed or is it forbidden? Glancing at Rashi, al yadei davar acher, Yisrael roitze b'kiyumo shel yayin esech. The Jew is interested in the continued existence of the unkosher wine. However, velo b'shviloi, he's not interested in the existence of this thing because of the wine per se. Elo b'shvil hacheres u'lismicha, he's interested in the clay aspect of this and for its role as a support. So the question then is this mutter? After all, the wine itself is prohibited. It's even we saw in the Mishnah that the cheres hadriani is osir b'hanah. Once again, but can I use this for a non-wine related benefit? Toshma, the Reb Elozer of Rabbi Yochanan, chad osar v'chad shori. The Gemara wants to answer the question by saying we have a machlokes amoroyim about this. Meisvei, at this point the Gemara raises a question on the manda omar that allowed it. Notice we have a long question marking. This is indicated by a kuf that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara that are parallel to this long marking constitute the question. Meisvei. Hadardurin v'harak bo'ois shel ovdei kochavim. According to the Rabbeinu Hananel, dardurim are jugs made of wood. Rakbuos are leather flasks that are owned by goyim, by idol worshippers. And for our purposes, we should explain that they are also they have absorbed wine. They are used jugs that have or vessels that have wine absorbed in them. Yayin shel Yisrael konus bohen. If a Jew took his kosher wine and stored it in these vessels. Osur b'shtiyo mutur b'hano. The wine would be forbidden to be drunk, because it will in effect mix with the unkosher wine that's absorbed in the walls of these vessels. So you have a taruvus of yayin nesech with kosher wine, and that's forbidden for drinking. However, mutur b'hano. However, it would be mutur to sell it. Heyid Shimon ben Guda lifnei benoi shel Rabbi Gamliel. Shimon ben Guda testified in the presence of the son of Rabbi Gamliel, concerning his father, Sheshosa Mimenu Baako, that Rabbi Gamliel himself drank from the kosher wine that was stored in these, we'll call it unkosher vessels, and he drank from it in the city of Akko, Veloi Hodulo, and this testimony was not accepted. Noidos Shel Ovdei Kochavim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Nodos are vessels of Goyim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi, Osur Lasus Mehen Shtichin Lachamor. Nodos are leather vessels. He says it would be Osur to convert them into donkey saddles. The Rashi points out that the case of the donkey saddles, but actually before we note the Rashi, just note that we've dashed underlined this, and the Gemara itself goes on. Let's go into the Gemara itself. The roitze b'kiyumo ayadei davar acher. You have these the ultimate donkey saddles. Where do they come from? They come from flasks that had stored wine in them. I'm going to unfurl the flasks or cut them open, make them into donkey saddles, And it says in this source that it's usur to do that. That's vikotoni to usur. So this is an example of roitza bikiyumo ayadei davar achar. I'm interested in the preservation of the wine that, but not for the wine's purpose. I'm interested in preserving that which contains the wine, namely these leather flasks that I'm going to be using as a saddle. And it says it's usur to do that. The next two lines of Gemara, line and a half, are the subject of some lengthy discussion in the Tosfos. There seems to be those that are not goreis this, that don't have these lines as part of the Gemara text at all. In fact, when learning the commentary of the Rabbeinu Hananel, one gets the impression these lines aren't there. Rashi himself doesn't comment on these lines. So we'll continue with the Gemara, but it's worth noting, at least in the back of one's mind, that it could be that these next two lines really shouldn't be here. And one would skip and say, and read over to Rava on the second wide line, where he says that really the case of the donkey saddles is a more severe case than the Cheres Hadriani being used as a as a support for a bed. There's a greater problem involved with the donkey saddle issue. But before we get to that, the Gemara asks, Uletamech kan kanim shel ovdei kechovim litzuru lemizvan. It should be that the kankanim of goyim should be usur to sell. Mai shno noidois u mai shno kankanim. The reference to the kankanim of goyim that are mutter bahano, this may be found in the shitas hachachomim that's found in the Mishnah, where the Chachomim said on the Mishnah Chav Tesom Ebeis, the Chachomim said regarding these things that Ein Isur Isur Hano. Outside of that, one just might have to make an assumption that the Gemara is asking on some type of pre-knowledge that Kankanim of Ovdei Kechovim are actually Mutter Bahano. So, if you make that assumption, then the Gemara's question will read as follows. Why is it that the kankanim of Ovdei Kechovim, of the idol worshippers, they're mutter, but if you're saying that rotze b'kiyuma al-yadei dover acher is something forbidden, then the kankanim of the Ovdei Kechovim, these vessels of the Ovdei Kechovim, should be usur to sell. Maishno nodos umaishno kankanim. Why is it that specifically the nodos are usur and the kankanim are mutter? Elo omar rova. Shema iboka noido. The reason that the nodos specifically are usur is not because of rotze bekiyuma yadei dover acher, but because of a more pressing reason and more directly related problem to wine, directly wine-related problem. The fear is the person riding the donkey might have a leather wine bottle or a leather vessel that splits, that gets cut open, develops a leak. The itlenu, he'll then take the saddle that's made of similar material. The itperenu al gabi nodo, and he'll sew it onto his split flask. Well, if he does that, then the wine that's absorbed in the saddle, which was originally a Gentile-owned wine flask, so that absorbed wine will mix with the wine that the Jew is carrying in his flask, and that presents a directly related kashrus problem, something more severe than the issue of rotze bekiyumo ayadei dover acher. So from the case of that's featured in this source of the saddles and the prohibition of let's be more accurate, from the nodos, the flasks of the goyim being prohibited from being converted into saddles, from that we do not shed light on the general issue of rotze bekiuma al yedei dover acher. According to the opinion that says that in fact rotze bekiuma dover acher is forbidden, why is it that it is mutter to benefit from kankanim? And we made reference to a shita like that one saw in the Mishnah. Amaloch hosam, in the case of the kankanim, lese liisure bi'ene. The isur, the wine, was not something that's said to be extant, to be be'en, tangible, physical. It's the wine, in the case of kankanim, is absorbed into the walls of the flask and not readily available. Hocha, in the case of the Cheres Hadriani, Ise li Sure Biene. The Isur, the wine, is much more readily accessible, and hence it's viewed as if it's Biene. Biene means it's extant, it's tangible, it's here. Even though one will say on a technical level, in the case of the Cheres Hadriani, it's also absorbed into something, just like the Kankanim. However, it's in the case of the Kankanim, it's not the wine. won't come out of the walls nearly as easily and with any intensity like the case of the Cheres Hadriani. So as a result of that contrast, you can hold that rotze bekiumal ayedei dover acher is aser, and that would be the case of the Cheres Hadriani being used, even though it's used for something else. But since the Isur, the wine that's absorbed in that, is so easily accessible, we are more stringent and restrictive with regard to that than we are to standard flasks that once stored unkosher wine in them. Veloi hoidu lo. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This draws your attention to an arrow that was put into the same side of the Gemara above, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. And on that line, we saw that there was testimony given by Shimon ben Guda concerning the practice of Rabban Gamliel, and it was not accepted. In other words, he had said that Rabban Gamliel drank from kosher wine that had been kept in the vessels owned previously by Goyim. The Gemara, Veraminhi. I will now raise a contradiction. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see in this Tanaic source that appears in a frame, at the very end of the source, we've dashed underlined the expression, Vehodulo. Right away, you see that there is going to be a contradiction. With the markings, we also have dashed underlined these two phrases, the phrase before the source, the Dibor Masel, which is below Hodulo. We've also supplied a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara, and a few lines later, also a little star, instructing you to join up these two lines. So we read the source now, V'romini, Yayin habo b'rokbois shel ovdei kochavim, wine that comes in the flasks, the vessels of idol worshippers, Osur b'shtia, umutur b'hano. It's osur to drink it, and it's mutur to derive benefit from it. And we're talking, of course, about the wine that's absorbed in those vessels. We're not talking about actual wine, that's already yayin nesech. But the absorbed wine, and in this situation, it's osur to drink it, but if you take these vessels and sell them, you can derive benefit from the money. Hayit Shimon ben Guda, lifnei benoi shuram gamliel, aramliel, shishosa mimenu ba'akoi, v'hodulo. Shimon ben Guda testified in front of the son of Ramliel that his father, Rabbi Gamliel, had drunk kosher wine from these vessels. And they accepted the testimony. That contradicts what we saw just above. So the Gemara says, "My lo hodulo de ko amar hosam." The lo, who is the lo hodulo that was said above? Kol siato alva beno module. Kol siato, all the other colleagues, rabbinic figures that were that made up the assembly of rabbis, they did not accept the testimony, but the son did. And that's what the second source represents. V'hodulo, Rabbi Gamliel's son accepted that testimony. Iboy Seymour, another approach to resolve this contradiction. Guda l'chud v'guda l'chud. Rashi says, there are, and we've also indicated with our markings, we squiggle underline the last letter of these two names, and we've done that also in the sources that presented the names. If you look back, you'll see the you can navigate with the little stars that you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. Those stars connect up the respective lines in which these names appeared. So the sources are not contradictory. They're referring to two different individuals. In the first source, where we saw Lo Hodulo, who was saying the testimony? That was Shimon ben Guda with an Aleph at the end of the name. The second source where the testimony was accepted, that was Shimon ben Guda with an Ayin at the end of the name. So, with the testimony said by the one with the Aleph at the name, they did not accept his story. However, when the gentleman with the ayin at the end of his name said over the story, his testimony they did accept. The Oros Levuvin, the Mishnah mentioned that these heart skins are prohibited in Osir Bahano. Tanu Rabbanan. Ezu Or Levuv, what is the skin of the Levuv, meaning the heart skin? It means as follows. Kol Shekorua Keneged Halev, the Kodur Kamin Aruba. It's skin that's removed from the animal and it's cut away like a window, leaving a window there. Yesh olav kurt dam osir. If the flap of skin that was cut away, leaving this window shape, let's also add it's circular. Rashi points out kodur means it's round, like forming a hole, a round hole. It's if it has a drop of blood on it, then it's forbidden. Through the presence of the drop of blood, I know it was removed while the animal was alive. Ein olav kurt dam mutter. If it doesn't have, then if it doesn't have this drop of blood on it, then I'm going to assume that it was removed from the animal after it was already dead, and that's not the form of idol worship service. Omar Rav Huna, lo shanu elo shelo molchu. This idea that it could be mutter, that this flap of skin would be mutter, because it doesn't have blood on it, is provided that the skin was not salted. Salting of skin is something that's characteristic of the tanning process. Avol molchoi osur. Emo milchoi heviroi. If the skin was salted, then I would say that we're going to assume that it had been removed while it was alive, and it was the salting that removed the evidence, the drop of blood. Rav Shmuel says in the Mishnah that the flap of skin will be prohibited only if it's round. It's true that the previous piece of Gemara, we also inserted that as part of our explanation. That was based on the Brisa that said Kol Shekaru Keneged Alev the Kodur Kemin Aruba, and Rashi added that Kodur was Kodur Kenekev Agol. What our Mishnah already said that under the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that only if it's rounded is it prohibited, but if it's elongated, it's an elongated strip of skin, then it's it's mutter because they didn't cut it away in the service of an avodah zarah. The only type of, or the only shape that's characteristic of idol worship, it would be a round shape of skin. Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He rules that we will choose to go like Rav Shimon Liel. Omar le'Abaye, halacha michlal depligi. By the fact that you chose the word halacha, that indicates that someone argues. And so Abaye is asking, does someone argue with that? In other words, is there someone that would say that flaps of skin of any shape are, of all shapes are usur? We don't find that there are any diverging opinions. So Abaye's question of wonderment is directed at Rav Yosef. Why did you say over that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Liel, implying that someone disagrees when I don't know of anyone that disagrees. So Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, "My nafka loch mina. What difference does it make you whether I used the term halacha or didn't use the term halacha? The bottom line is we are going to follow Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And even if no one else argues, it's still this is the way to go." Omar Lei, so Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, "Gemora, Gemora, Zemorta Tehe, is the learning of the Gemora like a tune?" In other words, if in communicating words of Torah, one is not precise, he's then treating the Torah as if it were a tune where one can sing something and get away with it even without extreme accuracy. And Abaye says that the way I approach learning is with accuracy, so that if a term is used which implies one thing and in reality, and the reality is something else, I would not want to use that particular term. And therefore, since no one argues with Rav Shimon Liel, it's not appropriate to use the word halacha here, Rav Shimon Liel, which implies that others do disagree, when in fact they don't. Bosar hanichnas lavodis gechovim mutter. This was in our Mishnah al Chav Tes Amud Beis, that meat that's on its way to a place of idol worship, and the goyim are carrying this meat with them. It's mutter to purchase it. It's mutter bahanoa, provided the Jew gets possession of the meat before they enter the idol's site, the place of idol worship. Man Tana, who is the Tana that says that Basar of Oyved Kichavim is mutter bahanoa? In other words, that it's you can benefit from it. Of course, you can't eat it, but it's mutter to benefit from. Amar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, delo k'Rabbi Elazar. This is unlike Rabbi Eliezer's shita. De'i k'Rabbi Eliezer, because if it were like Rabbi Eliezer, ha'omar, he has been known to say the following: Stam machsheves oyved kechovim la'avodes kechovim. The standard mindset of an idol worshiper when he slaughters meat, when he slaughters an animal, he slaughters his animals already for the sake of his idol. Meat, according to Rabbi Eliezer, standard meat of goyim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is forbidden because of it being considered takruvas avodah zarah. So if you're telling me I can buy the meat from a Gentile before he gets to his idol, that indicates that the Gentile did not slaughter it with that mindset. Hence, this allowance, this leniency, is not in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah said on Chav Tes that meat that a Gentile is carrying as he leaves the place of the Avodah Zarah, that meat is forbidden. My taima, why is it forbidden? Why is it forbidden even b'hanoah from any benefit? Answer: I efshur daleko takruvas avodas kechovim. It's inevitable that there wasn't offerings made to the idol, and the feeling is that this meat was offered to the idol. Money, who would be the author of that idea? Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. It conforms to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Tesanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer. Minayin letakruvas avodas kechovim shemetame ba'ohel. let's just go over a point. We're asking right now, who is the author of the idea that meat that is offered to an Avodah Zarah becomes Osir Bahano? Who is the author of that? So the Gemara answers, it's Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira, as is illustrated in this source. Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira says, Omer, minayin tatakus avodas kechavim shemetamibo, from where do we know that things offered to idols have a tuma level, an impurity level, that conveys tuma even by overshadowing, even without actual contact with it, but by being in the same room? Shenemar, vayitzmidu labal por, vayochlu zivchei mesim. This pasuk features Baal Por, which was an idol, and it says that they joined up with the Baal Por and they were eating zivchei mesim. Now we're going to learn from this the idea that was just mentioned. Ma meis metame boil, just like a body conveys tuma by overshadowing, af takruvas avodas kochavim metame boil. So too, takruvas avodas kochavim, offerings made to idols, convey tuma through overshadowing. Rashi adds what might be of actual essential critical importance here, and it's as follows. Rashi adds that just like a mace, we just made a parallel between the offerings to this to the idols and a mace and a dead body. We have to add here, and a mace too, just like a mace is osir bahano, it's osir to derive benefit from a corpse, so too offerings made to an idol, namely the takruvas avodas kochavim, is also osir bahano. And that's what we were looking for just before. Who is the author of this idea that takruvas avodas kochavim is osir bahano? Hahochen le tirpois asurim loseis veloseis imohem. The Mishnah said that when you see people going to a place of idol worship, so it's usher to conduct business with them. Omar Shmuel, Ove Kochovim, Haholech Letirpus. We've done with our markings, we've double underlined the expressions, double underlined with a special, with dots in it to distinguish it from other double underlinings. To make a distinction here between Oved Kochavim and Yisrael in the same context. So Oved Kochavim haholech letirpus behalicha osur the azul lemodi kami avodas kochavim, to do business with him, to commerce with him on his way to the avodah zarah was forbidden, because if you do, he will then go and thank his idol. Bechazora muter, my dahave have, on his way back, You are allowed to conduct business with him, because what was, he finished his service, you meet him on his way back, he's not going to go back to the idol to thank him for the business deal that he just cut. Yisrael haholech letirpus, with regard to a Jew who unfortunately may be on his way to an idol worship place, behalicha muter, here the case is just the opposite. On his way there, it's permitted to conduct business with him, Dilma Hodarbe Velozil, because there's the hope, there's the possibility he will do tshuva. Hodarbe means literally he will return, and he might return, he might back out and not go. Bechazora Osir, however, and here it's again the opposite of with the goy, on his way back. In other words, if the Jew had gone, served the idol, and then is on his way back from the idol, it's Osir to do business with him. Why? Kevin de Ovik Ba, since he's so attached to it, you have a Jew that has descended to such a low level, it indicates that he has some kind of firm attachment to the idol. We're fearful that he Dafkim, specifically the Jew, Mahadahodar Ozil, he will go back and thank the idol. The Gemara asks, Vahatanya, Yisrael haholich letirpus, bein behalicha, bein behazor aser. Notice with our dashed underlines how we can focus on the main point. It features a Jew on his way to the Avodah Zarah. That's what we've dashed under the halicha. It is forbidden. That's contrary to what Shmuel just ruled with regard to the Jew on his way there. Shmuel said it was mutter, was allowed. Omer Rav Ashi, Ki Tanya Ahi, the source that forbids doing business with a Jew on his way to the Avodah Zarah, be Yisrael Mumar. That's referring to a rebellious Jew, Devadai Ozil. He already has developed a reputation of his intense connection to the idol, so much so that there isn't any hope of his doing tshuva, so to speak, before, even on his way there. So as a result of that, we don't allow business with him even on his way there. As the Gemara says, once again, Kitanyahi, Bisrael Mumar, Devadai Ozel, he's definitely going to go, and that's why we prohibit even the Halicha. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.